Hello and welcome to Vision Scope, a program designed to educate and inform on matters relating to disabilities. My name is Wilbert Williams. Our guest is in studio, as King Rocco just told you, and he is a very interesting guest. He is Orville Gale. He's founder of OG Changing Life, which is a charitable organization doing a lot of work in many countries, a lot of voluntary work in many countries. And we are honored to have Orville because he's had to fight snow and everything else in Mississippi. Orville, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Willie. Really appreciate it. And Mr. Rocco and King Rocco, I really appreciate it. We have to put the king in it, you know. But first of all, I want to thank you guys for being recognized the OG Change of Life, the UVC Radio. And I want to thank you guys to recognize us. And I want to thank a special friend who introduced you guys to me.
Kalisha is her name.
Kalisha, yes. And so, ladies and gentlemen who listening from all over the world, I want to say good evening. And you know, without the Almighty, we are nothing. And so, like I want to tell everyone, my name is Orville Gale. I am originate from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And I live overseas, currently in Mississippi, where there is very bad right now. We don't really know what's going on, but it's bad.
Yes.
So I run an organization called OG Changing Life. Changing life is a very powerful word.
Let's step back a little bit and talk about you the man. The question I always like to start off with, because we have a lot of blind listeners, I want to find out what Orville Gale looks like.
And what like Orville?
Eh?
No, I'm not sure. I want to tell especially the ones who cannot see my face, my real image. Just picture me as you. Mm-hmm. I am the same person as you.
No, you maybe that won't work, Orville. Because some of us are short, some of us are tall. We have varying statures. So yeah, I want to hear about your stature.
We're going to get there also. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a black male. And I am 5'10", and not that handsome, but I think I can go on. And I, like I said, is bald head and beard. And like I said, is wear glasses every now and then. And I'm very easygoing. And so you can't miss me. Very fun guy.
Okay. You started life in Jamaica. Where did you go to school?
Yes, I started my life in Jamaica. I went to the Adventist back when I was younger, went to the Buff Bay Primary School. Mm-hmm. And I went to two different primary schools, and I pretty much finished school at the Adventist at grade 9. Mm-hmm. And while I'm going to school, back in those days, I was actually working in construction. And so working, going to school and sending myself back to art. And so that was me back in the days.
Okay. So how long now have you been in the States?
I've been in the state close to 23 years.
That's a long time. What made you decide to make that move from Jamaica to the United States?
Well, to make this move, I never even thinking about foreign. And a young man from a political party in Jamaica just come to me one night and asked me if me interested to go overseas. And I said, are you joking? And he told me some people from Mississippi really need some strong personnel to come and work. But back then at the time there, I never believed him. And so he asked me to sign a paper, and we read the paper and realized is a farm work card information.
Farm work program.
Yes. Yes. So I did it. And then from I did it, they sent me to meet these guys. And I meet these guys, do some interview. And they said, yes, I want this guy. And so from there, the company who I'm working with right now, they are the one that accept me and brought me in the country. And
so I'm you stayed with the same company all these 23 years?
Correct. Yes.
That's interesting.
I stay with the Beauvage and Casino. Yes. Okay. MGM.
Okay. Orville, what was it like making that transition from nice, warm Jamaica, where everything cool and everything crisp, to the United States, where it's work, work, work? What was the transition like for you?
Well, to make me stay here in the state when I lost my mother back in 2002. And when I lost my mother, I was telling myself, I don't have anything else back home. I never get any children as yet. And so when I lost my mother back in September, and I made a decision. But before I made the decision, when I came home, and I buried my mom, I actually asked her at the graveside before I came back to finish my month and a half in the country, because they gave us 9 months in the country. And I was coming back home in that same 2002. So before I came back up after I buried my mom, I went to the graveside and asked her, when I go back up, I'm not coming back. I want her to dream me and tell me if I'm making the right move. And I'm telling you, my mother actually dreaming. And she told me I am making the right move.
Oh, so that confirmed it for you.
That confirmed it for me. Mm-hmm. And believe me, when the time I was coming back up, even the immigration was tried to give me a hard time, and I let them know I just came down to bury my mother. And I have things back in the United States. So I need to get back to finish my job, my contract, and go back home. Mm-hmm. So, but I did have proof for all the death service ticket and everything. So he pretty much let me go. But at the time, he don't know I have a plan. Said, yes. I am not coming back until I make a change in my life. Mm-hmm. And so that was the day when I came out of Miami, Florida airport. And I look at the airport, I said, anytime you see me back again, I'm flying back home looking for my family and friends. And I catch that Greyhound bus. I head straight to Mississippi.
Yes.
And when I reach to Mississippi, everything changed from there.
Yeah. So Orville, we don't have a great deal of time, but I want to get the meat of this interview in. And that is about your organization. tell us what led to your decision to form this OG Changing Life. What led you to decide to form this organization?
Well, first of all, I always give back. I always give back.
You love to give back.
Love to give back.
Mm-hmm.
So my family know. We are work, they know that. Always giving back. Mm-hmm. I always put myself last. But the pandemic make me look into things in a different way.
That's the COVID. COVID pandemic.
The COVID, yes. And the COVID made me really look into certain things and said, you know what? I really got to come up with a name and start an organization because I've been doing this all these years. But I wasn't putting like videos and other stuff out there. So I decided we're going to came up with a name. And I asked all of my group folks and asked them to come up with a name. Nobody couldn't came up with a name. I asked my family to came up with a name. And my niece came up with a name and said, "Uncle, you're always giving back. Why you don't come up with this name? Why you don't use this name?" It take about 2 days. OG Changing Lives. And when she come up with that name, I said, "My niece, I love you." That's it.
And Changing Lives. Work with it.
And from she say that, Changing Life, I said, "That's it. Nothing else." And I make a call back in my country, Jamaica, and find out if that name taken. And they said, "No, it don't taken." So I end up came to Jamaica and look about the paperwork fast before that name taken, Changing Life. So
you are registered in Jamaica as a charity?
Correct.
What is the aim of OG Changing Life?
The aim is change many life we can change. And when I say change many life we can change, I'm talking about many life. And when you come on to changing life, it don't mean one thing. And you see, you can sit down and reason with someone and change them life.
Mm-hmm.
You can feed someone and change them life.
Mm-hmm.
You can send someone to school and change their life.
There are different approaches.
Different approach and changing somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
So this changing life, we will never stop. We're gonna sky the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna sky the limit and changing someone's life.
But to change lives, you have to have a systematic approach. So what is your approach? Let's say you came to me and my life needed to be changed. Well, how would you approach it? How would you decide what will change my life?
Well, that's very easy. What you see, I don't jump and just speak. I listen.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
I listen and I observe.
Yes.
And then I will do the necessary after that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to just listen to someone and just, "Oh, I know what is your problem."
Yes.
No, you have many people have different type of issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there is many different type of issue we can deal with everybody issue. Mm-hmm. Some people, it's not about money problem. It's not about this. You just have to take the time and listen to the people. And when you listen to them, you know exactly what they want.
So you investigate their circumstances before you make decisions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Which makes a lot of sense. But then now, how do you know when their lives are changed? It might sound ridiculous, but how do you know when their lives are changed?
Well, I always try my best to keep a dialogue with everyone who we communicate with. And I tell everyone this: if you're with me, if you stand by my side, your life will change. You just have to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Just have that respect, honesty, trust, care, and kindness. Mm-hmm. And if you follow those rules, you will be a better person. Just always be honest and respect.
When did your organization start?
We started in 2020, but we started registration back in 2022.
So you completed the registration in 2022.
Registration 22, yes, sir.
Yes, and then you started working. Do you have any ideas to how many lives you have touched so far in your program?
Yes, we do have numbers. And I just can give you some off the back because some people we don't put it out there. We do
no,
things.
No, man, I'm not asking you to personal. Don't go into the personal issues.
Yes.
But I just want overall numbers.
We change over 7,000 persons.
That's a lot in it's not 2 years yet.
So we changed close to that.
Yeah.
And the numbers are rising.
Okay.
The numbers are rising.
How is your organization funded? You can't do that on your own. I mean that's a hell of a job.
Well, it's a hell of a job for real. I start the organization with my own money.
Yes, I can't well imagine that. But yes. To maintain it, your family would kill you.
I maintain it with my own money. Are you married?
Are you married?
Yes, sir.
So that is even a bigger toll on the budget.
Well, you see, my wife have an understanding, and she see and know me have a good heart. Mm-hmm. And she come in my life while I was doing this. Mm-hmm. And she came on board and stand by my side with whatever I do. And I always believe in giving back.
So she's a part of the organization more or less.
Yes. Yes, she's a part of it. She's my you might don't believe this, but she's the money lady behind it. She's the treasurer.
Okay. She's the treasurer. Yeah.
Yes.
And do you have a board, a registered board?
Yes, we do have a register board through the IRS.
How many people are on the board?
We have four people on the board, include myself, McFadden.
So it's a small working board.
Yes.
Have you been able to do any major fundraising since the launch of this program?
I never did a major fundraising because I funded the organization from me.
That's interesting. So you have helped these 7,000 people from your pocket and the pockets of your friends and associates. But to maintain that over time, isn't that going to be a tremendous strain on you? How do you feel about it? Because it's one thing to do good enough, but it's another thing to maintain the good.
Well, I do understand, and the MGM, the Boy of Arj, is standing by my side.
Okay.
So they're on board with me, and so they're on board with me. It's a big company, and they're on board with me. And I have different other organizations.
And quickly for me to interrupt, when we talk about MGM, we're talking about a casino in Las Vegas.
Oh,
correct.
It's a big casino.
Yes, the MGM own a lot of property all over the world. Mm-hmm. So they are one of the biggest company in America and also overseas. So they own a lot of building, hotels, and restaurants, bars, and you know they own a lot of different things where you can imagine. So yes.
So they would be willing to associate their name with a program like this because that is giving them great publicity.
Yes, they nominate me twice with when it comes on to the Community Service Award, 2022 and 2023, and I win both year. And I, like I said, is the year before it was like 38 different organizations, and I am the one that win. And last year it was like 48 different organizations, and I am the one that win again. So we win twice, and we're going for it this year again.
Truly amazing.
Yes. That means your work is highly recognized in the state.
Yes, sir, it do.
Yes. How do people get on to your organization? Let's say there's an individual in anywhere in need. How do they get on to the organization? Is there a local branch or you work through a local affiliate? How do you approach it?
Well, I have plenty social media outlet. And I have people who working with my social media. So anyone trying to reach out to me, they mostly reach out to our social media or they go through our website. And website is there. We have plenty numbers, and we have numbers. We have email. They reach out to us there. Also, like I said, is you have sometimes people want to talk to me directly, and so. They will talk to someone and we make appointment with them and we talk to them and that's it. And but we have a social media, they reach out to us. One thing about us, when it come on to us, we speak to our people because sometimes you never know when you're gonna change somebody's life with a conversation.
True, true, true. Mr. Gale, one of the questions I would like to ask you, what would you say is the real need out there? I mean, we know a lot of people, a lot of family, a lot of people struggling, etc., all across the globe, not only in the United States, all across the world. What are some of the most pressing needs you will say people come knocking at your door for?
Majority of people knocking on my door is mostly children want to go back to school. They cannot afford to send their children back to school. And the second thing is food. And so those are one of the main thing happening when it comes down to the OG change in life. Like I said, is people come to my house in Jamaica pretty much every day. And people call us, reach out to us, email us, reach out to the website. It's all about food, is all about children going back to school, some farmer assistance in any farmer way. And so those are the main thing people reach out to us about when it comes down to that.
Right. Is there a coordination with the local social services in Jamaica, with your organization, to able to reach like the lower class of people?
When it comes down to other organization in Jamaica, we don't collaborate with these other guys. We solo, we do our thing by ourselves.
No, I was asking like with the government. Do you guys do like a collaboration with the government or anything?
Okay, it's in place, and but for right now it's in place, but also I'm going to be over there very soon, and it's in place because the government like and love what I'm doing. And so, and I have some things I want to say to my government when I actually speak to the Prime Minister when that time is right. But
At the moment, how do you find getting stuff into Jamaica? Do you go through a lot of red tape? Because I know Jamaica is full of red tape, you know.
You see, this is a thing I always tell my family and other people. And everything what we do, we're going to do it the right way. And if we have to join line for hours, we're going to join line for hours. We can go through different route and get things done the right way. I'm not into that. We're going to do everything the right way.
Where I was trying to go is that, all right, you
we don't have no red. We don't have no red tape stopping us from shipping my stuff out and receiving my stuff.
So when you collect stuff in the United States and you send it to a country like Jamaica, you interact with the people before to make sure that you do the right thing. Is that what you're saying?
Anytime we get stuff here and we ship it off to Jamaica, my team pick it up and we give it back to the people. We don't sell stuff. We don't do those stuff. We give it back to the people who really need.
But now you're getting closer to what I'm trying to find out.
Yes, who really need.
You have people in Jamaica who receive it on your behalf.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I have my team member. Like I told you, my niece is the vice president, Shanique, and my wife is a treasury. They're the one that responds to everything, my sister. And so they get the stuff, take it to the location in Portland, and we distribute things. We have things at the house. We have things at the storage. When people call on us, say they want these and they want that, if we have these stuff there, we tell them where to come and pick it up.
Oh, I see. So you have an organized outlet. Call it that, for want of a better word. You have an organized outlet.
So OG Foundation is not only based in the United States. It's also registered in Jamaica. It's like an arm out there in Jamaica to what you have in the United States.
Yes. So awesome. I couldn't just register it in Jamaica and I don't register here.
No, it wouldn't
in
make
my
sense.
Country.
It wouldn't make sense. No.
So we have to do what I got to do there. And like I said, Jamaica, I'm from Jamaica. People in Jamaica are struggling, is suffering. Yeah. And
so you would say
me,
then it's like a smaller version of Food for the Poor.
Yes, put it like that.
Yes,
sir.
Because that's the same concept.
Same concept.
They meet the needs. And the needs, and believe you me, the needs in Jamaica are great.
I'm telling you.
I don't know about anywhere else, but I'm a Jamaican and I know the needs are great.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think pretty much the same every way. Whether in the Caribbean or the United States, I mean, yeah, in America, in this first world country, I mean, even though poverty is there, but there are organizations, there are companies, I mean, government, they have a lot of resource in place. But when you come to the Caribbean, some part of the Caribbean probably may be developed in some. But by the same token, I think everybody experiences the same common thing.
Yeah, but you know, Rocco, when you can't compare the United States to the Caribbean simply
because no, there's no comparison.
There are facilities in the United States that even poor people abuse. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Things that they abuse, we would have been happy to have them in Jamaica.
Certainly. So, Mr. Gill, I got another question for you. I mean, what keeps you going? What keeps you really do what you are doing? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people possibly join you. Likewise, for whatever reason, things may not go the way probably they want and whatnot, and they left and they move on. At any point in time, you ever tell yourself, you know what? I mean, this is a little too much for me. You just want to hang up your boots?
You know, sometimes people will say things and you want to do it, but when you listen to the naysay, it will be a problem. So I don't listen to the naysay or the one them who cannot even help them brothers and sisters. I don't listen to them. So you know what I do? I'm just continue to do what I do because nothing ain't gonna stop that. Only person gonna stop me from doing what I'm doing is the Almighty.
And you know within yourself that your work will never be perfect.
It will never be perfect.
Never be
but
perfect.
But
you're
thing,
doing a job.
One thing I know,
yes.
I am going to always put a smile
yes.
on someone's face. And I'm
yes.
always going to do the right thing.
Yes. So
I'm always going to do the right thing.
People in the United States, they can make contributions to the organization. How does it work?
Yes.
If they so desire.
Yes. Like I said, we have our website, the OG Changing Life Foundation. We have our website and we have Cash App, we have Zelle, we have bank account information there, and we have all different type of information the way or you want to donate. And so no matter where are you in the world, there's plenty of way you can go on the website and see the way you want to donate. But every time you donate to make a change in somebody's life. And you never even know. And no matter how small it is, we accept every donation.
Yes.
And like I said, all these donations go to proper costs.
What are the future for this organization? We'll go five past the hour, Willie. Don't respond to him.
Ask him for some time. 5 minutes. All right. Continue.
How do you see the future of OG Changing Life?
Well, when I just started, I tell myself the next 3 years, I should be owning a building. And believe me, greatest thing, when you reach that fully 3 years, we in process. And that's a great thing. Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir. And that is a great thing.
Yes.
Great thing.
Yes.
And so that is one big achievement for the OG Changing Life. Many more achievements, but I'm just saying that. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm going to think about the next 3 more years, it's going to be more bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And so.
Wow. So this is pretty much a young organization. And in the first 3 years of a young organization, 30 odd organization, you become number one and win these multiple awards back to back because of your work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Which is a sign of that he's onto a good thing.
That's truly amazing.
Yes.
Truly, truly, truly amazing.
Yes. Let me add something to that. Mr. Okay, go ahead, Mr. King.
Go on.
You see, what is the difference between me and other organizations? You see, I gave these guys a chance, opportunity. I gave them at meal. I gave them a chance and choice.
Mm-hmm.
Other organizations don't give anyone a choice of what they want to eat or drink. We do that. We mobilize. We walk. We do things where other organizations will never do. We'll never do. If a person on the street come to us, we're going to give them a meal. At meal, we're going to ask them, what do you want to drink? We got water. We got soda. We got orange juice. We got Gatorade. Those are a lot of choices.
They can make choices.
We have food. We have fried chicken. We have all different type of food. And we gave them choice if they want fried chicken or if they want red bean and rice, if they want turkey, if they want ham. We gave them a choice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people running other organizations not giving you a choice. They gave you what they're going to give you. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give these guys cold food, our finger food. We gave them at meal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that is what I want to add.
You're well structured.
Yes.
And that is critical.
As a young organization coming up, well structured.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have reliable sources in Jamaica, because
yes,
those sources have to accept and distribute based on needs.
True.
And I don't have to vet these folks in Jamaica. My people, they know how to vet. So if I get a text message or a phone call or email and sign off on something, they're going to do the right thing. So there's nothing for me to worry about.
All right, we have learned a lot about your organization. I want to come back to you now and learn a little bit more about the man in the 6 or 7 minutes that we have left. Tell me, what is your favorite food?
My favorite food. You know, my favorite food is corned beef and dumpling. I love I'm a dumpling guy. Corned beef and dumpling.
It's a combination, you know.
Yeah, corned beef and dumpling. I love corned beef. Yeah. Call it bully beef.
Yeah, bully beef. Back in the old days.
Back in the old days, you know? That's my favorite food. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me now, do you listen to a lot of music?
Yes, I listen to a lot of love songs. And I listen to conscious music. Mm-hmm. In Jamaica, I only listen to certain music. Mm-hmm. And anything where comes on to violence and disrespect women, I don't listen to them. That's not in my book. But when it comes on to love music, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love my love music. Yes, sir.
What? If you were exiled on an island and you could only take one music album, which music album would you take?
You're talking about generally, not only Jamaica,
any choice. But you are only allowed one album.
One album. I would take Whitney Houston.
That's a good album. That's a good choice from a set of albums.
Yes.
Which particular one would you? You don't remember
which? Oh yes, yes. to be high's come.
Okay.
That's I don't know if you know that one.
No,
but
not too familiar.
Okay. Or Celine Dion, but I would take Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I asked you this earlier, but do you have children?
Yes.
How many?
I have a daughter. She's going to be 13 this year.
Okay. So you...
Just one daughter.
One daughter.
But, one daughter and 21 got children.
Oh, and 7,000 adopted.
I'm telling you, there's so much children and so much children and elders we have to look out for every day. Yes, every day. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you, well, we're in the process of bringing this interview to a close, but I always like to ask my guests to leave a motivating word with our audience. What would you say to the audience in terms of motivating them? You can take 2 minutes or so to do this.
Yes. So we're going to speak about we are going to speak directly to any former disabled person out there. Remember this, the greatest thing is life. No matter what your circumstance may be, you are someone. You are beautiful inside and outside. No matter what people say about you, the greatest thing is life. Because without life, you or me is nothing. So don't let nobody bring down your feelings. If you cannot see, if you're into a wheelchair, don't let that bother you. Hold up your head and put a smile on your face every day because you are someone. So that is a message I want to say to anyone out there who disabled. And next thing I want to say to the world, you see, in life, we all can be a better person out there if we can come together. If we see our brothers and sisters walking down the wrong path, we must can stand up and tell them the truth. You're walking down the wrong path. And anytime we can start to do this one little thing, we can start to do out of respect for each other's, the world would be a better place. And not only having respect, just gave back a liquor. Gave back a liquor, no matter what you have. Always gave back a liquor. Yes. And always believe in the Almighty. Put God first with everything what you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to me from all over the world. Listen good. The greatest thing is life. Nothing is wrong with your feet, your hand, your eyes. The Almighty gave us the health and strength. If you want life better for you or a little bit easier for you, you can do it. Better yourself. Educate yourself. Get a good job. Relationship wise, be careful. Know the man, know the lady, know the basic about them before you go in a relationship. It's very simple. If you know your daughter, your son doing something that's wrong, break the tree from early. And this one is for majority of my people in Jamaica when it comes on to crime. And I'm tired of the government talking about poor is creating crime in Jamaica. It's not poor. Jamaica is not poor. Nobody in the garrison is poor. People living in the garrison, TV bigger than that TV behind me.
That's true.
We need to stop it. Stop full our people mind about poor money is the biggest thing in Jamaica. The love of money. These guys, only thing they love is the money. That's why I've been creating right now. So this is what I want to say to everyone in the world, especially Jamaica. At 2024 now, let us live like we usually live in the 90s and the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stop the crime.
Yes, so true. And I think...
Stop the crime.
Yes.
Stop the crime.
If you can
resolve... Hold on, Mr. Willie. If you can resolve any problem... Resolve it. Don't come to the second or the third thing come out of your mind and your heart. Kill. No. Walk away. Laugh it out. And that's all I'm going to say to my brothers and sisters.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to bring this interview to a close.
Yeah.
It's been short and regrettably short, but you know, We have gleaned so much. And Orville, I want to thank you very much for coming and sharing with us. And we would love to have you back at some future time, you know, when we can expound more on the things that are happening in your organization.
Thank you.
If you have any questions or comments regarding this program, please address them to norwill2@gmail.com. That is NORWILL number 2 at gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Have a happy and productive week.
That's it for today. Join me next time when we will present another in the series Vision Scope. Music was provided by Rennie Williams Jr.